Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Back with the first Locked On Grizzlies pod of 2017. A look back at the Kings game, some injury news about Marc Gasol, and a 3Q preview of tonight's Lakers game. All of that on the way. You are Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome in Locked On Grizzlies, back with you for 2017. Hope you guys had a good holiday, a little extended holiday, I guess. I still had to do my radio show Monday, so it didn't feel like the biggest holiday. We still had some time to hang out and spend a little time with the family, but excited to be back with you and excited to bring you some good stuff for this Tuesday, including a look ahead to the Lakers matchup tonight and a little look back at what we've seen so far this season, a few of the trends that we are starting to kind of see, and some interesting stuff coming out of the Kings game. First of all, we start with injury news.
Injury news.
Injury news.
This time it's Marc Gasol, who is the subject of injury news and that tremendous piece of production. Marc injuring his ankle. This, thankfully, is not the ankle that is attached to his right foot. That would be his right ankle. This is his left ankle, which is a different ankle than the right one. That's a little medical knowledge I've picked up over the years. So that's good news that it's not associated with the foot, at least, that he's now back from, but continuing to kind of keep an eye on and monitor as the season goes on. This was a little bit of a freak thing, although to my eyes, I didn't think Marc looked throughout that entire Kings game. The Grizzlies ended up winning, and we'll talk about some of the specifics of that here in a second. But in that game, Marc started, he missed the first three shots of the game, finished 0-for-6, did not play especially well, didn't play well defensively. To me, he didn't look like he was moving great, even before the ankle injury. Maybe he was just a tired night, or I don't know, New Year's Eve afternoon or something. I'm not sure, but to me, it didn't look like he was quite himself. So, unfortunately, he kind of landed wrong. It didn't look like he landed on anybody's foot, but he landed wrong and tweaked his ankle a little bit, tried to play on, couldn't play on. And it's termed a sprained ankle. There's nothing official on the severity of it other than to say that he's listed as questionable for tonight's game. And I think you know by now, typically if Marc Gasol is listed as questionable, he tends to try to play. That dude is, he has a thing about it. He does not like to miss, and they don't like for him to miss because it makes him grumpy. And I think, especially given the opposition, discretion is the better part of valor. He didn't play especially well, like I said, on Saturday, so there's no reason, I think, to rush him back at this point. He could use a little bit of a break. And I think there were some lineups and some interesting looks on Saturday that could be worthy of a little more exploration. But that said, the biggest pressing thing for the Grizzlies right now is to get Mike Conley back feeling 100% and get him and Marc back together on the same page, because since Mike has come back from his injury, it has been, he's not been himself, and the tandem with Marc has been not good at all. So that's step number one, and you've got to have a healthy Marc to do that. So I'm kind of torn here. I think Marc could use rest, but I think the most pressing thing for the Grizzlies is to get Marc and Mike back on the same page. If you could balance those two things out, that would be ideal. Speaking of which, the numbers, I wrote a little bit about this in the commercial appeal over the weekend, but the numbers that you're seeing from Mike and Marc together are pretty astonishing. It continued to be a problem for the Grizzlies with them on the court together in Sacramento. They were the only two minuses and plus minus that played significant roles in the game. Jarrell Martin was the only other player, I think, that was a minus at all in the game, and he was not a major part of the action in his 13 minutes. But both Mike and Mark, in spite of their, you know, high level of skill, high level of importance, high level of salary, all that stuff, they were not very good for the Grizzlies on Saturday. And it just kind of speaks to the difficulty that they're having right now. And in fact, in the 9 games that they have played together since Mike Conley came back from his back injury, Marc Gasol is 20 points per 100 possessions worse when Mike Conley is on the floor than when he is off the floor. 20. He is enormously more productive without the injured Mike Conley, at least in the short time since they've come back. Now, that is a small sample size. So, and you know, over the course of their entire career, they have always been better together. Mark, in particular, has been better with Mike alongside. They have worked well as a tandem. So I don't think this is any kind of indictment specifically on, you know, Mike Conley or Marc Gasol. I think it's just it's indictment of Mike Conley's health. You know, that to me is the biggest thing right there, is if Mike Conley is healthy, then great. No worries. Everything's cool. If he's not, though, and it doesn't appear that he is, well, then you have some problems, because, you know, not only do those problems mean that Marc Gasol is less productive, but it just means that the stuff that they like to do together, the two-man game, the pick-and-roll stuff that ends up being so much of what they do when they're out there together, is less effective. That's something that bears watching. And there are a lot of people that are keeping a close eye on Mike Conley, a lot of them working for the organization just to kind of see how his recovery is. He came back probably about a week or so too soon, at least. He really, really struggled. And now you can see he's starting to get a little bit of that rhythm back. Offensively, he was hitting that three. For some reason, Darren Collison continued to go under on all those screens, and Mike was just killing him on that any of that little pick and roll, that little one dribble over and take that jump shot. It was easy. The Kings did not have a great game plan against him, and clearly didn't have a great game plan against any of the Grizzlies' three-point shooters. When you look at the record number that they threw up there, 17 of 35 for the Grizzlies. And those are numbers that are perfectly fine if you are the Houston Rockets. But when you're the Memphis Grizzlies and you see 17 made threes, that's absurd. The Grizzlies are going to win every game when they make 17 threes. That's just a given. You can't look at it any other way. Special props also to Troy Daniels, who continues to be nuclear from three. And especially as a kind of that same 3-3 that I was talking about with Mike Conley, when Troy Daniels shoots it, these are synergy numbers, but he has made 8 of his last 11 from 3 off pick and roll. So teams that try to go under on screens against him, you know, he takes one dribble and shoots. He's actually been more effective with that dribble than without. And you would have thought, you know, being a pure shooter, that catch and shoot would have been his thing, but he's really good at that. But it's almost like he's got a little comfort level with that one bounce and then pulling up for the jumper. It's a little bit like Mike Conley in that regard. So kudos to him. He's got, we've talked about it before, it's amazing to watch when he gets going. He's got that Steph Curry thing going. He really does. He can't do it for as long, but man, when he gets cooking, it's crazy. He pulls up. He can pull up from anywhere within 30 feet, and he's good. They have not had anybody like him. And then when Vince Carter comes off the bench and does what he does, you know, Vince has been a very effective player for most of this year, much more so than you would have thought, you know, given his his age and what you had kind of expected from him. He's been terrific. I want to give kudos to Andrew Harrison for his performance on Saturday as well. He was... The last two games, I mean, he played really well, especially defensively, against Russell Westbrook and the Thunder, and then he came out and was very much within himself in the game with Sacramento. He's got to stop looking for that three. He's got to start running the offense a little bit more, but, you know, defensively, he's very sound, And I think he's taken great strides in drawing, getting contact, setting up other players. He had 6 assists in just 19 minutes. He was a plus 19. He was very good with Zach Randolph, who was also excellent, and Zach's been really good over the last week or so. I think he's, you know, it's tough when you lose a parent, and I, you know, certainly understand. Having lost my own mom, it took me a long time to even feel close to normal. I don't think Zach feels anywhere close to normal, but I think he's starting to get back into the rhythm of the season, and it's something that he's starting to learn to cope with. And you see the results when he's got that little pep in his step, he's got that little smile, when he's as productive as he has been, makes a huge difference off the bench for the Grizzlies. Also, I got to say, the guy that played far and away the most minutes on Saturday and continues to be really excellent is JaMychal Green. Now, it helps when he's 4 or 5 from 3. But the lineups that the Grizzlies threw out with JaMychal as a 5 against Boogie Cousins were outstanding. Boogie was tired. He didn't have any interest in going out and defending JaMychal Green as a shooter. He had great looks. The spread on that was fabulous. They can switch a lot defensively. I thought it was a really good look, and I would like to see them do more of it, depending on who they're going to play alongside of him. You know, you have to go kind of small. And they did it some with Jarrell Martin, and it wasn't a great look from Jarrell. I just didn't, I don't know. It wasn't, I don't know what Jarrell's doing out there, honestly, these days. I really don't. His position is undefined. His role is undefined. He made one baffling pass. Like, I think he seems to be taking several steps back over the last few games. And I don't know if that's a role thing or what. It's a little concerning because he had started to show some promise and some things that he can do as a defender of multiple positions, as a guy that can theoretically take it out and shoot it a little bit, can use that athleticism to be very versatile in the offensive game. He had shown, there's a few things that he really shown, but that's kind of gone by the wayside. He doesn't do much in his minutes, and he didn't do much in his minutes the other night. Looking over on the other side of the Kings, I continue to look and just say, you know, someone's got to get Willie Cauley-Stein out of this situation. You know, he is too good to be playing fewer minutes than Scal Labissiere in these games. Way fewer. Fewer than Georgios Papagiannis, these guys coming in to mop up in garbage time. You know, Cauley-Stein played less than that. Now, he was really not very good in this game, but I think that's got to be more of a mental thing. He's a second-year guy with unbelievable athletic gifts. And right now he is just being lost amid a sea of bigs and lineups that are weird and matchups that are strange. And this is not the way to use the guy. This is not what you need out of Willie Cauley-Stein. And I keep hoping that he'll be traded to a team that can use the guy's athletic gifts. And I think he's a diamond in the rough. There's something there. I also think I give props. I always love watching Anthony Tolliver play. He's just like a grinder, gets it done. I've loved watching his game for a long time. Especially in today's NBA, he just fits perfectly. And, you know, he comes in and can fill it up. I like having that guy on your team. The two things that really popped out to me, you know, when it came to the Kings, and I'll say from the Grizzlies' perspective too, one other thing that was encouraging, I didn't think Chandler Parsons looked great. I mean, he's still a long, long, long way from his normal self. He's still, I don't know that he's ever, well, I shouldn't say ever, but it feels like this year, maybe he's never going to get back to that high level that he was playing at right before that second or that knee surgery in Dallas. It just feels like he's a million miles away from that even now. That said, I did think there were some good things in Parsons' minutes with the starters, and you saw some plays. I highlighted one on Twitter that you saw some areas where his ball handling was used to good effect. And especially with, I think, the Grizzlies wanting to get Mike Conley off the ball even more. You know, Conley, fun fact, was the leading rebounder in this game for the Grizzlies. He was in positions, he didn't handle the ball all that much. It wasn't really, you know, as a point guard, he wasn't in that role. A lot of times, you know, the Grizzlies like to orchestrate the offense through that horn set that they'll run with two bigs at the elbows, two shooters in the corners and, you know, those wings there, and then they'll kind of cycle through. Conley will dump the ball off to usually Marc Gasol in the left elbow, and then he'll roll through, and then they'll start whatever action they're going to start. So Mike, in that kind of a situation, isn't really, you know, the point guard in the sense that, like, you would normally consider a point guard as the true orchestrator. But in that same set, Chandler Parsons acts as one of those wings coming in. Marc Gasol dribble handoff, and Chandler Parsons curls around that screen that Mark sets on the dribble handoff. And in doing so, all this action that they set on the backside of that, Parsons is a good enough ball handler where you have to respect what he's going to do with the ball. That means that you have to sag and you have to help. And when this happened, it was Anthony Tolliver who ended up being kind of victimized. But he was sort of put in the ringer question about whether he's going to go and hang out with Jermichael Green, who's spotting up for an open corner three, or whether he's going to try to help on Chandler Parsons, who is driving to the basket. And he goes back and forth, and he ends up leaving Green wide open, corner three, bing, bang, boom. Good play, good action, and it's action that's set up because Chandler Parsons can drive, and because he has size, because he can pass. Those are things that he can do, and he's going to need to do to be productive for the Grizzlies out there, especially if his shot is going to continue to struggle. And right now, it really is. He just looks, the legs aren't there, the shots are short. Even the one that went in was a friendly roll bouncing off the front rim. He's not there yet. So he has to find other ways to contribute. Well, there's a good way. There's a way you can absolutely do it. It was, you know, so much great shooting, and none of it really belonging to him, but he helped to facilitate it. That's, if you're not going to be able to do it, you got to be able to contribute in other ways. And for the first few games when he came back, he wasn't contributing in any way. He was just out there. He was running around, just out there doing 10, 15 minutes, whatever he can do, and just hoping, you know, not to get hurt and just to try to get himself. Now, he finally seems to me like he's actually integrated into a few of the things that they want to do. Long way from being where he needs to be. But that, there were some positive signs. And that's really all you can ask for at this point from Chandler Parsons as we begin 2017. Couple little bits of news to get to now. One thing that came out over the last few days that was kind of, I think, seen on some of the international sites, or, you know, if you scoured really closely, but largely overlooked because of the holidays, but it was just a nice reminder and kind of a confirmation of sorts that the Grizzlies are planning to bring over their second round pick, or their other second round pick besides Deontay Davis, from last year's draft, Rade Zagorats. And that is, by the way, how you pronounce it, Zagorats. I think that's the correct way. I've been watching some of his film, I guess you would say. That's how they say it, their commentators, Zagorats. So that's what I'm going with. It looks like Zagorak or Zagorach or Zagorach or something like that. Zagorats. Zagorats, like Divots, like everyone said Divots at VAC, Rade Zagorats. So go with that. Zagorats is planning on coming over. The Grizzlies are planning on bringing him over. That's not a shock. That was kind of the plan all along. And I spoke with John Hollinger a couple times about Zagorats and his performances, and everyone with the Grizzlies still very optimistic and pleased about what he's done. This year, I don't know, I mean, Megalex, the, you know, some of the performances have been a little iffy. He's had some very, very high highs and some weird lows, but that's to be expected. He's a young player. He's had some really strong performances. He had an 8-assist game the other night. If you don't know about his game, you know, he's kind of the things that he does. He kind of would remind you a little bit of Vince Carter in the things that, you know, the Vince Carter's role now, not like Vince Carter back in the day. You know, he can come in. He's got some size. He can handle the ball a little bit. He's you know, capable of making an outside shot. He's got some work. He can do some work around the basket. He's been a pretty productive rebounder for Megalex this year. I don't know that that's going to carry over to the NBA. That's more about the style and just kind of the way that game is played in their league, the ABA, and then he plays in the Basketball Champions League as well. So that some of those competitions are not as, you know, big and physical and all that. The style, it will definitely be an adjustment for him, but he's got skill. He definitely can shoot. He can come off screens and shoot. He's got a good looking shot. It's for his size, looks very good. There's a lot to like about the guy. And I think, you know, considering the Grizzlies, in all likelihood will not have a first round pick this year, barring, you know, them making some kind of a trade, and their pick, you can pretty much forget about it. It's going to go to Denver. Right now, that pick would be 23rd in the draft based on their position. But that, of course, is subject to change. As long as it does not end up in the top five, it will leave. And there's, the odds that it ends up in the top five are extremely low. The Grizzlies would have to miss the playoffs, which at this point seems pretty far-fetched in and of itself. And then they would have to more or less win the lottery or finish top three, win the ping pong balls to end up not giving up that pick. So just forget about it. That pick is gone. Zagorats will serve that role of the pick bringing over. And you could see with Deontay Davis before he got hurt, showed a lot of promise in that draft spot. Andrew Harrison is a second round pick, is playing, you know, big and important minutes for the Grizzlies. Troy Williams as an undrafted free agent was playing and has played a role for the Grizzlies this year. You know, Jermichael Green, coming in as a second rounder, is playing a role. The Grizzlies have certainly been able to find, whether they drafted them themselves or made trades. Marc Gasol is obviously the biggest example of a second rounder who has turned out to be an unbelievable player. Very few are going to turn out like that, but the Grizzlies do have a track record of taking second-round picks and undrafted guys and doing some nice things with them. So they will hope that Zagorats will continue in that vein. And I guess I wouldn't call this so much news, but I do want to give a couple shouts out to, number one, our buddy Joe Mullinax from Grizzly Bear Blues. If you haven't read their, if you're not reading Grizzly Bear Blues, you need to check that out on a regular basis. They got a great stable of guys, many of whom we've had on the pod. They do terrific work. Joe wrote a nice piece about Jermichael Green and about the dilemma that the Grizzlies face. It was something that I had touched on earlier in a piece that I wrote for the Commercial Appeal about a month or so ago. And his value has continued to be really, really good. You heard me talk earlier in the pod about what he was doing in that game. He's got such an ability to be a versatile defender. He's a really good defender, guys. He's proven that this year. And the offensive game on nights like the one, you know, Saturday, or, you know, in his best games, you know, he really provides you so much. And you could play him even because he's got good hands, and he's starting to now be able to play a little bit more without fouling. The fouls have been the thing for Jermichael Green. I think he's starting to play a little bit more without fouling. And if he can do that, that's the final piece of the puzzle. Because otherwise, he really adds a lot to the team and doesn't take much off the table. That's a guy that he's going to get paid. Now, the numbers that Joe talks about in his piece is about whether or not you should, you know, the Grizzlies should sign him long term. He's a restricted free agent at the end of the year. The numbers bandied about, and I think Joe had a 3-for-36 or 3-for-33 somewhere in that neighborhood. I think that would be perfect, but I think there's going to be more than that for him out there. I think you're talking, especially when you look at games like the other night, you look at his best, and it's going to depend on what teams see from him. But in a market like this, and this is not, you know, there's going to be a fair bit of money out there, and there's not, after you pass the really top tier guys, there's going to be teams that are still looking, and they're going to have money burning a hole in their pocket. I think I said 4-50 is where I'm putting the bar And I think as he plays better, it may creep up closer to 60. That's 15 a year. That's a lot. You know, the Grizzlies have the ability to just about work him in. They would have to make some sacrifices to do it, but they could. You know, once you get to that number, that's a trickier proposition. But he continues, if he continues to put up the kind of defensive numbers that he's putting up right now, and he is, make no mistake, he's really well thought of defensively. His metrics, a lot of different advanced metrics like him a lot defensively. And the offense is getting there. If he can cut down the fouls and continue to be a two-way player, that number's going to go up. But it's a great piece, and I enjoyed it. Check it out on Grizzly Bear Blues. Also, Chris Harrington, our buddy, put a big old pick and pop out with a lot of great stuff on the Commercial Appeal website. Check that out, too. It is well worth your time. And follow those guys on Twitter. Check out what they're doing. They're doing some really, really good stuff. All right, 3Q preview, LA Lakers tonight. Late one, 9:30 tip-off, and really more like 9:40 by the time all the pregame stuff is done. So it will be a well-past midnight kind of night for you. Hope you got your nap in. You've still got time. If you're listening to this early in the morning, Tuesday, great. Go ahead, get that nap in. Just take a little sleeping bag to work. I won't tell anybody. Just do it. Slide in right after lunch. Take a little 30-minute snooze because you're going to need it. You're going to need it or else brew the coffee. It's going to be a late night. I want to know right out of the gate, question number one is obviously, will Marcus all play? And if so, how much will he play? That will be determined. Shoot around will probably happen, I guess, probably around noon Memphis time. And we'll find out a little bit more about that then. Now, you know, this is not definitive because David Fizdale thought Mike Conley would play the morning of the Thunder game. Turned out that he didn't. So it could be that Gasol will be completely ruled out, or it could be that he's a maybe. I don't think you could definitely say that he's going to play until much closer to game time. Will he play? How much will he play? As I mentioned earlier in the pod, I think he needs to play. I think they need to at least get a little bit more of that chemistry as much as they can between Mike and Mark. I don't think he needs to play much. But you know, if things were going a little more smoothly between Mike and Mark, I wouldn't be so worried about it. But I think that takes precedent, especially if it's just a minor sprain of his ankle. Now, if it's something more than that, then certainly don't risk it. And don't overplay him no matter the situation. The Grizzlies should not need too much to handle the Lakers. The Lakers have really struggled after getting off to a really good start this year. Second question for the Grizzlies is going to be, can they take advantage of the number of edges that they have over the Lakers? They do have a tremendous amount of advantages over the Lakers in this matchup. This is a matchup that should really benefit the Grizzlies on offense. They're playing the worst per-possession defense in the league, in the LA Lakers. The Lakers really, there's nothing that they defend especially well, except for the post. They do defend the post pretty well. And the Grizzlies do a fair bit of business from the post, especially with Marc Gasol. So getting away from that might be to their benefit, but everything else out there, I mean, they do not defend especially well. They are a middling transition team. They are a really poor team in going out and defending the shooters. They are really bad at defending pick and rolls. They just don't do a lot defensively that really worries you. And then on the offensive end of things, you know, the Grizzlies defensively have clear advantages in just about every category. Apart from, you know, they're a pretty fearsome offensive rebounding team. They can get putbacks, and they're one of the best teams in the league at doing that. And they're pretty good off dribble handoffs, which is something that the Grizzlies don't defend especially well. That might be a little bit of a problem overall. You know, they do have a few guys that can get going a little bit, but by and large, you know, you can control their young guys. You can control them. You know, and Brandon Ingram, you know, he's not playing especially well. The guy that can get you, as always, with them is Nick Young. You know, Lou Williams, same thing, same kind of deal. You know, for him, but Nick Young is the guy that can get it rolling, and he's been, you know, playing really well in shooting the ball, exceptionally well. And he's a guy that could, in theory, get after the Grizzlies. He's one of the most efficient scorers in the league this year is Nick Young, and Lou Williams is not too far behind him. So you slow those two guys down, and there's not much else. Clarkson has come back down to earth. Julius Randle's come back down to earth. A little bit D'Angelo Russell, since he got hurt, that was a big loss for them. As I mentioned, Brandon Ingram has struggled. So this is a much different Laker team than the one that the Grizzlies saw earlier in the year, and I think it's a Laker team that the Grizzlies should be able to handle a little bit more easily than they did earlier on, even with the injuries and everything else that the Grizzlies have to deal with. The last question in the 3Q preview, how long can this Grizzlies hot shooting continue? In the last five ball games, the Grizzlies are shooting 45% from three, 48% overall, and they are averaging 12.5 three-pointers made per game. That is pretty astonishing. The Grizzlies have never been anywhere close to that number. I mean, for the season, they're averaging just under 9, which is pretty heady territory for them. But over the last five games, it's been, the last 10 games, they're averaging, almost 11. But over the last five, they bumped that up to 12.5, really bolstered by the 17 that they hit against Sacramento. When you have, they legit have 3-4 guys out there now, and they can put them all out in more or less the same lineup that can hit threes. This may be the norm rather than an unusual thing. The Grizzlies have averaged 109 points per game in the last five, which is a huge jump over the 98.6 that they're averaging over the course of the season. And the about 96-ish that they were averaging for big chunk of the season. So they have bumped up their scoring considerably. Yeah, they've got to make sure that they don't lose the defensive focus in the process of doing that. But my goodness, 12.5 threes for the Grizzlies. We are in strange times indeed. Thank you once again for joining me here on Locked On Grizzlies, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you want to shoot me an email about the show, or if you want to find out more about advertising on this podcast, please feel free to email me whatever you want, peter@peteredmiston.com. That's peter@peteredmiston.com. Follow me on Twitter, @peteredmiston. Check me out every morning, 7 to 10. Wolo and Peter in the morning, Real Sports Talk, Sports 56, 87.7 FM. Read me in the Commercial Appeal in the Numbers Game each and every week. Thanks go out to Audionautics as well for help with the music. And, of course, please subscribe and review. I would love it and really appreciate it if you would do that. Until next time, thank you so much. You have been Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily podcast on the Memphis Grizzlies, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.